As ice gathered several inches thick on the Hudson River and the mercury plummeted below freezing, Hortense Odlum stepped from her chauffeured car onto the Fifth Avenue sidewalk. Gripping her felt hat to her auburn updo, she stared at the Art Deco skyscraper looming above her, at the two-story entryway made of filigreed bronze and glass, and the words Bonwit Teller etched prominently into the limestone facade. A morning rush of passersby leaned against the gale, men lugging briefcases as they trudged toward glass-walled boardrooms and women in nubby woolen coats, ready for a day serving coffee and taking stenography. It was the height of the Great Depression, but even the ranks of the jobless seemed purposeful, huddling against the tall buildings to shield themselves from the biting cold, their bare hands outstretched in the hopes of a Christmas coin. Hortense pulled her fur coat around her and stepped gingerly through the revolving doors. At once, the scramble and blizzard outside fell away as an atmosphere of hushed grandeur and a blast of warm air enveloped her. She looked about the store's main floor, with its maze of glass counters and mirrored columns, the clacking of high heels against marble echoing through the vast space as a handful of early morning shoppers wandered the aisles. Eyeing the bank of elevators sitting along the far wall, Hortense walked toward them, clasping her purse nervously as she asked the operator for the 11th floor. She exited into a reception area, behind which were a series of doors where Bonwit Teller's management had its offices. The secretary showed her to a nearby couch. Moments later, an elderly gentleman, dressed nattily in a three-piece suit with a shock of silver hair, stuck his head from behind one of the large wooden doors and waved her inside. Paul Bonwit, the 70-year-old merchant, gestured for Hortense to sit across from his imposing presidential desk, and she took her seat with a small, polite smile. Mr. Bonwit, who had come from Germany in his youth and founded his store 4 decades earlier, had spent countless hours charming wealthy housewives with his old-world manners and continental accent. But as he launched into his standard line of questioning, asking after Hortense's trip into Manhattan and how her children were faring, his typical ease faltered, and the air between them became stiff and awkward. Bonwit Teller had been one of New York's most exclusive, well-appointed department stores. But 3 years into the Great Depression, its rows of mink coats and shelves of baccarat glass sat unsold, and, teetering on the cusp of bankruptcy, Mr. Bonwit had been forced to sell. The new owner, Floyd Odlum, was a Wall Street tycoon and one of America's richest men. So far, Mr. Bonwit had managed to keep Floyd at bay, holding on to his large carpeted office and his position as store president. But now, Floyd's wife had made a sudden appearance, and Mr. Bonwit was confounded by the arrival of this 41-year-old mother of two. While she had shopped plenty, Hortense had never worked, and certainly not in a store. "There's a small office down the hall, Mrs. Odlum, where I hope you'll be comfortable," Mr. Bonwit finally ventured. "And by the way, my secretary will be glad to take your dictation when you need her." Hortense's face reddened. She didn't want to be there any more than Mr. Bonwit wanted her to be. But her husband had asked her to make the rounds of the store and report back on her impressions. And while she had little idea how to proceed, Hortense was willing to try nearly anything to please Floyd. "What would I do in an office?" she replied nervously. "I wouldn't know how to act in an office, and I wouldn't have the faintest idea of what to say to a secretary,"